may the grace, mercy, and peace of our loving Savior Jesus Christ fill our hearts and our minds this Lord's Day as we thank Him for the blessing of our baptism and also the wonderful gift of the sacrament of Holy Communion. I think it was a week ago or so in chapel, and the chapel message for the children was talking about going on a field trip. And maybe some of you remember as children going on field trips, and I always kind of thought of our Munchau family vacations in many ways were field trips, because mom and dad liked to take us to some of the real historical places. And I'll have to tell you, one of the most vivid memories I have of vacation was taking a trip out to the East Coast and going to Colonial Williamsburg. I'd always liked reading stories about both the Revolutionary War, and boy, did it bring it to life, being able to see, you know, the kind of the replica village there, what it was like back in the days of the founding of our country. But the part that really also stuck in my mind, too, was when we got to go to Gettysburg. How many of you have actually been to Gettysburg? Okay, a few of you have. If you're ever out that way, I highly recommend it. Very powerful. I still remember, I have this image in my mind of going into the room where they had like a huge model of the whole battlefield area, and as the park ranger, whoever it was that was telling the story, had little lights that would light up, and you could see where the different battles took place, and then you got to actually go out and go around on that place. And of course, I've always liked Abraham Lincoln too, so I guess that was a special part of it. But there's just something about being able to go and see or experience something face-to-face, you know, to actually be there. And if you grab your bulletin and open up to the sermon notes today, as we talk about the sacraments, this is what God has done for us in the sacraments. He allows us to really come to Him face-to-face in a very real, or if you see in the sermon notes there, this word tangible. Tangible comes from the Latin word tangere, which means to touch. And I think God knows that we as human beings, we have a tendency to learn maybe in a little stronger way when our senses are involved. So I want you to just look over at the baptismal font over there right now and think about the senses that are involved in baptism. There is sight, you know, we can see the water. There is even sound. You can hear the water, you know, as Pastor scoops it up and pours it over the child's head, and it flows back down. And then touch, you know, to actually feel the water on our foreheads in our baptisms. And then in the Lord's Supper, actually, all five of our senses are involved. Sight, touch, taste, hearing is there. And even smell, you know, you can smell the wine the sacrament as well. So God gives us something very special and fairly unique in the sacraments. And I actually wanted to start today and say, well, what is it that actually makes a sacrament? If we're going to thank God today for the sacraments, why is it that we have two? Baptism and the Lord's Supper. You know, in the Roman Catholic Church, they have seven, because the way they define what a sacrament is a little bit different. So I really want to start with that, kind of a reminder back from catechism days, that we believe a sacrament is this, and it has three components to it. And the first one in the sermon notes there says, it is a holy thing, it's a sacred act commanded by God, commanded specifically by Jesus Himself. In other words, Jesus commanded us to do this. So like in the Lord's Supper, we hear, do this in remembrance of me. And He told the disciples, this is what you are to do. And in the Great Commission passage from Matthew 28, we get the command to go and make disciples. And Jesus says, and here's how you do it. You baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the first part is, it's commanded by Christ Himself, and God combines His word with some physical element that we can see. So, of course, water in baptism, bread and the wine and the Lord's Supper. So something we can see, touch, and feel that God has connected his word to. And that leads us to the third part, where that word, it's not just any word of God, but it's the word and promise of God to give the forgiveness of our sins. And so in the gospel reading today, and as Amber reminded the children and us, that Jesus holds up that scroll from Isaiah, and it says, you know, he's going to come and bring healing, he's going to come and set the captives free, he's going to come and bring joy to our hearts. And to think that that's really what Jesus does in and through the sacraments. He brings that healing and that freedom to us. So we're going to really take a pretty quick journey. Whenever I talk about baptism in the Lord's Supper in new member class, I usually say, well, let me apologize, because it really can't do justice to baptism and the Lord's Supper in one class, and it really can't fully even cover it all in one sermon, let alone to put two of them together in one sermon. So I usually say, well, put on your helmet, you know, because we're going to take off and we're going to go pretty fast and cover a lot. But I do want to look first at what God gives to us through the sacrament of baptism. So we're going to look at that first. And in Greek, the word baptizo simply means to wash with water. So God has attached this amazing gift and promise to the water of baptism. And here's a key thing. And this would be maybe one thing that might differentiate us as Lutheran Christians from maybe some other Christians that also believe in baptism, but some of them say, well, you have to actually dunk them to really have it count. And what we believe is what Scripture simply says is, like the word said, the word baptism means to apply water, to wash. And so Jesus, of course, he was baptized in a river. I think it's kind of a nice thing to do. I've actually been blessed to do a few down in the river baptisms over at Tahlequah at Camp Luther Homa. Baptized a high schooler that came to camp and had never been baptized. And John Bush, the director, called me up and says, hey, this young man wants to be baptized. His parents are going to come down from Tulsa. And the whole camp stood there on the river of the banks of the Illinois River there at camp. And we walked out in our swim trunks and he was baptized. But his baptism wasn't like a super baptism, because he was dunked under the water, and mine was a little one because my dad just sprinkled water on my head. Here's the reality. It's not how you're baptized, and it's not how much water is used that makes a baptism valid or not. As Luther says in the Catechism, he says, it is the water attached to the promise of God's word. So the power in baptism, the power in the sacraments, always comes from God and his word. He's the power source. So it's not me, the pastor, it's not the person being baptized, it's not how much water that matters. It is the Holy Spirit, the word of God, and that amazing gift of faith that takes hold of that promise of God to receive forgiveness. So what does matter, putting the sermon notes there, is that the water's connected to God's word, to the word of God. So if you think about God's promise, I left my hymnal down here. Grab a hymnal, open up in the front part of the hymnal to page 300. And 25. And the nice thing about our hymnals is they also have the catechism in there. And on page 325 is Luther's small catechism, and on 325 you see the section about baptism. And the way Luther would do it he'd ask a question and then he'd give an answer and then he'd tell us what scripture that comes from, because we get our teaching and our understanding from the word of God. So look at the question there. We're on the far right side on page 325. It says, here's the third meaning of baptism, the third question. How can water do such great things? And have you ever wondered that yourself? You know, whether it's a little baby that's baptized over there, you know, an 8-day-old or an 8-month-old or an 80-year-old. How can that water over there do such amazing things? And I always like to tease my confirmands when we start talking about baptism. I say, well, you know where I get that water that we put in there? I'm like, where? I say, well, we have the holy sink. And They're like, no, it just comes out of the sink right back here. It's the same water that would come out of the drinking fountain over there. There's nothing special about the water. What's special is the Word, the power of God's Word. So here Luther answers that question. Certainly not just water, but the Word of God in and with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts this Word of God in the water. For without God's Word, the water's plain water, no baptism. But with the Word of God, it is a baptism, that is, a life-giving water rich in grace and a washing of new birth in the Holy Spirit. And he quotes, this comes from Titus, where he said, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generally through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs. And this is what Dad was talking about in our epistle lesson today, that we've all been adopted into God's family through baptism, and now we are sons of God, as Paul said. We are heirs with Christ of all the blessings of heaven, the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation. So we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. So why does Paul, in our Galatians reading there, and this is our memory verse for today, it's on the screen here, will you read it with me? Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So Paul says, the reason we should all want to be baptized, if we've heard the Word of God, or if we have children and want to bring them to be baptized, is so that we can put on Christ. So we can have this robe of Christ's righteousness put on us to cover up our sinfulness. See, this is what Paul says. For as many of us as were baptized into Christ, and in the sermon notes I put this phrase in bold and underlined, have put on Christ, have been clothed with Christ, so that you and I no longer stand before God, you know, and as Scripture says, in the filthy rags of our sin, but we stand before God forgiven and cleansed, having put on Christ's righteousness. And see, that's the great exchange that took place at the cross. Jesus says, I'm going to take all the dirtiness of your sin upon myself, and I'm going to give you my holiness, my righteousness. I'm going to clothe you in me. And then, as Titus says, the writer Titus there says, you know, that he also does more than that too. Not only does he forgive our sins, but he's promised to fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes to us. He empowers us with the Holy Spirit and this great gift that the Spirit says, now you are my temple. Our bodies are his dwelling place. And I always like this part of the sacrament and baptism to say to the child, and this is why, you know, it says in our rubrics there, and even on our first slide there right before the invocation, it says, you know, you can make the sign of the cross over yourself as a way to remember your baptism, that this was said, receive the sign of the cross over your forehead and over your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ Jesus, Christ the crucified. He paid the price to purchase us, to buy us back. And so we have this power now to no longer be captive to sin. We've been set free to live, to follow, to have a heart to following God. Now, that doesn't mean we don't mess up. We still do that because we wrestle with our sinful nature. But is that new spirit that lives within us that wants to follow God, that wants to be here on Sunday morning to worship God. So that's baptism. Lord's Supper, too, and I put the question there, well, why does Paul encourage us to celebrate the Lord's Supper? And read with me 1 Corinthians 10:16. It's there in the sermon notes. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? And that word that I put in bold there, participation, in Greek, the word is koinonia, and it's often sometimes used in other places to talk about fellowship. And it means, very literally in Greek, two parts, two things coming together, joining together. And God did that for us in baptism. He joined us to Christ. But even that phrase or the term for the Lord's Supper we say communion. Communion. Common union. What is the common union? What is united? What are the things that are joined together in the Lord's Supper? And there are several things. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing miracle that God does in our midst and for us every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper. The first communion, of course, is with Christ. We have a common union with Christ's body and Christ's blood. What an amazing gift and a miracle. You know, and I often tell people, you know, when it gets to that point, I say, well, how does Jesus do that? How does Jesus unite his body with that bread? How does Jesus unite his blood with that wine? And I have to be honest and say, I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know how he does it, but I believe he does it because he is God. And he has the power and ability to do whatever he says. So when Jesus says, take and eat, this is my body, he didn't say this is a symbol of my body or this is kind of like my body. He said, take and eat, this is my body. And so we believe in what we call the real presence. Jesus' body is really present in the sacrament. Jesus' blood is really present in the sacrament. We receive, we have a common union with Christ, body and blood, in communion. But we also have communion, a common union with one another. And I often say, you've heard me say it before, I believe, you know, communion is the closest we can get to Christ this side of heaven. In many ways, it's the closest we can get to each other, too, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to celebrate the common union that we have. And I put three thoughts below that about the Lord's Supper. So I want you to think about this. Every one of us comes to the Lord's Supper with a common need. We are all sinners in need of forgiveness. So we have that in common. And as we kneel here, or if it's continuous communion, as we come by and we receive Christ's body and blood, we all receive a common gift. His body and his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Or as Jesus said in the reading today, to set us captives free. Once we were bound by sin and Satan and death, and Christ has set us free. So we all receive the common gift. Come with a common need, we receive a common gift, and we leave with a common mission to go and share Christ's love, hope, and peace with all people. So it is a wonderful communion with Christ, and it's a beautiful communion with one another. What a blessing. And the Lord's Supper really is, kind of as Amber said, it's medicine for our souls. It is really, truly spiritual medicine. And I could relate to that. Some of you may know I was out a couple days this week. I have to have a root canal tomorrow because I have an abscess here. But Wednesday, I looked like half a chipmunk. This side of my face was all swollen like that. So I went to the dentist, and he took an x-ray. And he goes, yeah, you have an abscess there. We'll have to do a root canal. And he immediately prescribed me some antibiotics. And, and it's working. The swelling is down. The pain is down. And hopefully the procedure tomorrow will really help clear that up. But I didn't bring my antibiotic with me, but I just grabbed this as ibuprofen bottle. So I've been taking some of this. And, you know, whether you have medicine that you get prescribed from a doctor or even over-the-counter medicine, they all come with warnings. Because medicine is intended to be for our good, to bring healing, you know, to our physical needs. And even this one, I look on it here and it says, warning, allergy alert. Ibuprofen may cause a severe allergic reaction. And Margie was telling me yesterday, because they also, you know, I was kind of alternating this with Tylenol, and she says, you got to be careful, you know, people can overdose on Tylenol. And so there's warnings to go with this thing that was intended for our good. And I'm not going to go into this a lot. We'll talk a little bit more about it in my Sunday school class today, but God does attach a warning to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, too. And if you look in the sermon notes there, it says, you know, it's a warning label of sorts. Because in Corinthians, he also says, he talked about people that were coming to commune without really believing what it was. And with a heart really not repentant and a heart not really believing in what the sacrament was. And so the warning is the passage in Corinthians where Paul says, let a man examine himself when he comes to the Lord's Supper. He says, because some people are eating and drinking judgment to their spiritual harm rather than their spiritual benefit. So it's really important to know when we come to the Lord's Supper. And if you look in your bulletin, maybe you've not even noticed this, but take your bulletin and look on the prayer, where the prayer page is, and down below it says, at the Lord's table, we come to the Lord's table, we acknowledge and believe that. And in essence, this is our sharing the scripture, you know, God's warning label, that when we come to the Lord's Supper, we want to acknowledge who we are, sinners in need of forgiveness. We want to acknowledge and believe in what Jesus is giving to us with this spiritual medicine. His true body, his true blood for the forgiveness of our sins and also to strengthen us. And so it says in there, you know, if you look below that, if you disagree with or do not understand these statements out of concern for your spiritual welfare, we ask that you wait to commune until you've had an opportunity to speak with the pastor. See, it'd be like a doctor saying, well, there's some medicine over there, just go ahead and help yourself. You know, pick whatever you want over there. That would not be a good thing, because it's prescribed for with an intentional purpose. And so God does that too. But it's an amazing, miraculous gift of the Lord's Supper. So we come to the Lord's Supper, and then we return back to our seats. And then when the worship service is over, we head out to our cars and we head off. And I just want to leave with this question for you today. It says, what do we do with these Jesus-filled bodies when we leave the Lord's table? Because we've just put out our hands and received his body with that bread and his blood with that wine. And so Christ, you know, has come to us. Christ is in us. Christ is filling us up. What do we do as Christ-filled people with this gift of the sacraments? And as I was thinking about that, I thought about what we are actually carrying with us. And I have here, went and dug out, when we went to the Holy Land, pretty much every place we went, I picked up a rock. and I actually wrote with a marker on it where they were from. But a few places, I actually found little pieces of pottery. And I took this one out this morning, because this is, it's got the little lines. I don't know what this was, but this is from Caesarea Philippi. And we were walking by, they were digging out for a parking lot next to the old Hippodrome, which is like the, you know, our Cox Stadium down here, the convention center or whatever. And so they were digging this out, and there, so you could see all these layers. And I wondered, well, I don't know how old this is, but there was a bunch of these little pieces of pottery just sticking out there. So I went over and picked one up. And I hope I didn't break any antiquities law or something, but I don't think I did, because it was just a construction site. It wasn't a dig or anything like that. But think about, wow, that's kind of cool to have a piece. Maybe this was a piece of pottery, you know, from back when Jesus was walking around, or Paul visited Caesarea or Philippi or whatever. But, you know, think the idea of carrying a piece of history with you. Kind of cool. But I want you to think about it. That's actually what we do. We carry a piece of history. So I brought this cross with me, and you've seen this one before. You know, if you think about the cross, it really is the center of all history. Because everything leading up to it, you know, was anticipating the coming of Christ, the Messiah. And even in the old dating system, you know, we had B.C. before Christ, and now we live in A.D. years, the year of the Lord, Anno Domini. And we look back to the coming of Christ and his death for us upon the cross. And, you know, I've done this with this cross where I put the word history here and my story here. And to say, you know, we are carrying a piece of history with us, inside of us, as we come away from the Lord's Supper, from the sacrament, because the Holy Spirit has given us the gift of faith. And where my story and his story intersect is at the cross. And in the prayer for today that I prayed earlier, I said, Holy Spirit, help us to always treasure the sacraments. Baptism and the Lord's Supper, because not only do we carry a piece of history in us, but we definitely carry his story. His love, His peace, His forgiveness, His strength. Let's pray. Lord, we rejoice and give thanks that in the power and promise of your word and the water of baptism, you give us the gift of faith, and in the receiving of the sacrament, we receive your body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, the strengthening of our faith. May we treasure and walk in these gifts as we carry you and your story. In your name we pray. Amen.